enlighten our hearts. Let's ask for light. Let's ask for direction from his word. Let's ask him that he will increase us tonight as we come to his presence. Our dear Father, we come for your light and increase in your word tonight. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for appreciating the light in our lives. Thank you for showing us what to do with our lives as we gather tonight. Thank you for teaching us how to be much more fruitful than ever before. Blessed be your holy name. Can you ask for detail from the Lord for your life personally as we listen? Not just to hear ourselves generally together, ask the Lord to talk to you personally and speak his word to you, because his word gives light to each person. Say, Lord, I receive personally for myself what to do, the troubles, the problems, the issues that around me that I'm involved in personally. Thank you for casting your light. Thank you for giving answers. Thank you for solving problems through your word tonight. Bless your holy name for it. Give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. As we gather tonight, thank you that we come not because we're already used to your presence, but because we want to learn from you. And we ask that you open our hearts and open our minds to your truth. In Jesus' name. We ask for each one of us to get something out of this meeting. In Jesus' name. We also pray that those who are joining us online, those who are still coming, that we'll all, at the end of the day, be happy that we listen to you today in Jesus' name. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go. Psalm 92. You're welcome in Jesus' name. Please have your seat. Psalm 92. Hallelujah. Can you give me some more volume a little bit? My side here, just a little. Psalm 92. Okay. Verse 12. I think you should know that one by now. We've been trying to do some things with it. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow. The word flourish, the word grow, that's what we're trying to get into. And then next verse. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. It shall still bear fruit in old age. It shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You know, there's this tendency, are we here tonight? There's this tendency to think that, like somebody said, that all this talking about fruitfulness, flourishing, getting well, is it not just modern Christianity? Is it not just, so we're talking about salvation, you should be talking about end time. You should be talking about going to heaven. Fine. That's very true. But let's go to 1 Timothy 4 so at least we can get something sorted out over here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Give us 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. And this is what it says. For bodily exercise profit a little, but godliness is what? Profitable for how many things? For all things. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to what? Now, which one is first? Which one is second? The life now. And then after that, that which is to come. Now, a lot of Christians are expecting to go to the life to come, but you have to know how to live the life now, or else you won't get there. If I'm going to the gate through this tunnel here, if I don't know how to get through this place, I won't get to the gate. So learning to live a godly life that is doing well will give us the contentment and the happiness to go on with the Lord. Now, let me do something else with us today. I want us to do something. Let's go back to Psalm 92. Hallelujah. You know, you have to just settle down in this thing. That's what I'm trying to do, to settle down in this truth. It won't start producing fruit until you settle down in it. That's why I take a series for some time and explain. That's what I do in my own life too. You know, I just take something and in my younger days, I think just, pick and go. No, that will settle down. Jesus said, John 15:7, if you abide or if you settle down in me and my words do what? Settle down in you. Praise God. So that's important. If you continue and if you stay with my word, hallelujah. So I don't mind at all. Don't worry, I won't finish 2030. but we keep on building it up so that at least next time you are thinking, it enters into your subconscious to flourish. Praise God, somebody. All right, so let's look at that word flourish and then grow. Next verse again, in the court of our God to flourish. And the next verse again, the word flourish again. You see that word over and over and over again. So let's go a step further today. Let's go to Hosea chapter 14. The book of Hosea. Can you find the book of Hosea? Okay. Now, I want you to look up, if you are not opening your Bible. O Israel, do what? Return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Let's keep on going. Take words with you and return to the Lord, says to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. So, you know, this is at the beginning of repentance. You are turning to the Lord. You are asking him to start afresh with your life. We call it born again experience. Hosea was describing something like that. They've gone away from God. They are coming back. Let's go to the next verse. Assyria shall not save us. Will not ride on horses. Nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our God, or gods, for in you, Father, let's find mercy. See, here was this person coming to God, describing that he's renouncing everything. What will God do for him? Let's go on. I will heal their... Now, this is God now. Please follow now. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from him. Somebody say amen to that. Okay, so after healing us, what will happen next? I love that set of words. I'll be like the dew to Israel. You know, dew in the morning? Oh, yeah, here we go now. See, it shall grow like the lily and lengthen its root like Lebanon. Let me shift over to NLT. Let's shift over to NLT. From verse 4. Okay, let's go to NLT. Okay. The Lord says, then I will heal you of all your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. See that? Now, this is God. You know, after you get saved, after you come to the Lord, I will love you, I will heal you, I will do all this. But it doesn't stop there. He wants to go on with us. Just follow. Somebody say, he just gets you saved and you are waiting for heaven. But no, he said, I will heal you. My love will know no bounds for you. Now, look at next verse. Let's go. I'll be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. See, of course, we are going to heaven, but dew will come from heaven. God is going to share heaven's part and portion with us here on earth. That's why Christ prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. You know, he didn't say, Lord, we'll come to your kingdom, and then we'll come and do your will in heaven. He said, no, your kingdom will come here. At least, not everything yet, but some of that kingdom will come over here. And then second, your will be done here in our life. So what will happen? Israel, please take a look. Israel, talking about us, also in a way, will blossom like the lily. Remember flower, lily flower? It will send roots deep into the soil. Like what? Like the cedars where? You know, it's not sounding like Psalm 92. Are you here? So he's saying that after you are saved, after I've healed you, you should blossom. You should send your root deep. Let's keep on reading. I love this. His branches will spread like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedars of Lebanon. Wow. You remember that Lebanon we have? This is describing the same stuff. So I'm not making this teaching up. Are you here? I'm not making it up from Psalm 82. Somebody said, you know, pastor always sees things in the Bible that, you know, it's not there, you know. Okay, all right. Let's keep reading. All right. My people will again live under my shade. They will flourish like grain and blossom like grapevines. You know, when you take grapes, you know, it has so many fruit along with it, all right? And they will be as fragrant as the wines of Lebanon. Let's keep reading. Oh, Israel, stay away from idols. I'm the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I'm like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. It shall be fruitful, right? So God is saying all this to us. And you know, I myself, sometimes I'm questioning this, that we're talking about blossoming, fruitful, you know, flourishing, fresh. You know, come on now. There's trouble here. But I don't want to join the 10 spies and talk about the troubles in the promised land. There'll be giants, there'll be issues. There's stuff around here. If you don't believe that, just live longer. You'll face things. You'll face things, you know. Even as a pastor, things come across to me, bam, 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 different things. But it says, I'm the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. Can we read some more? Is that the end of it? Uh-huh. This is the last, this is the last verse, right? This is the last verse. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those who, with discernment, listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right. And righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So what I'm saying tonight is that this is important for us to actually understand that God wants us to be flourishing, to be fruitful. But that doesn't only mean just physical materiality. It means that in all our endeavor, let's go to chapter 1, Colossians, verse 10. All right. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce what? Every kind of good fruit. Hallelujah. You know the meaning of that? The word fruit is the reason why we plant a tree. Am I right? If we don't have fruit in mind, we don't plant a tree. People on this planet, they just get involved in things. They get involved in this, they get involved in that, they get involved in that, because everybody's doing it. But they never become fruit-minded. What am I really after here? What's the product? What will be the aftermath? What will be the return on investment of my time and my energy and my resources here? That's where all of us should be thinking. People just say, I want to have children. Ask them, how many children? They say five. Or they say 10. You must say two. You know, so what are you really after? But what we do is that we just copy what is around us. That one has two children, and that one has four children. 2 + 4 / 2. So you have the average. So you have average kids, and then you have that. Okay, everybody's going somewhere to Lagos to do master's degree, so let's also go down there. So we become really just going by what we feel around. And it's worse among us here that are blacks, because we are more people who live collectively than individually. You know, it's amazing when you travel abroad. You know, you don't feel that pull to be. You can wear anything you want to wear. Nobody cares about that. You don't have to greet everybody and know that they're there. You know, I mean, that does me one kind. You know, when I travel, I mean, you enter bus, you want to see a kuoko. You know, you are coming out. You see udabo. You know that kind of a thing. You know, you just you know, you stay in a house. Your next door neighbor never says hi to you. You never bother. So the pool is there that everybody's doing this way, let's do it. But I believe that we should be able to be striking out wherever you are. Don't let things hold you back. Don't let life be like, since I don't have that, I might as well just settle down with this and this and this and this. Am I making some sense? We can do something. You know, my best picture of this is a tree. Let's look at, give us that tree again, that cedar of Lebanon. Something I want you to see about this tree, which I've not said before, is this. Now, you see that tree? It doesn't have tire. It doesn't have tire. It's stuck. Am I correct? It's stuck. All the days of his life, it's stuck. So if you are stuck to Nigeria, Akamari Likuri. What will you do? That's why God gave us a picture of a tree. That means you are there, but you can flourish there. Praise God. You are there. You don't have to be changing jobs every week to be flourishing. You don't have to be changing family every week. You don't have to be changing streets every week. Wherever you are, you can blossom from there. And you can just, you know, you have to have this mentality that God is the one orchestrating this. Not just because, you know, if I don't go somewhere, be somewhere. So people become rolling stone. You know, they become rolling stone. They're not putting. That's why they do this work a little bit. They get tired of it. Move to another one. Because they don't really send their. Remember, I said they send their roots deep. Remember, see, this thing will send the roots deep. Instead of just wandering around, what is happening? How am I going? And use the external to measure ourselves. Even where you are. Oh, come on. Let's go to chapter 6, Galatians. Beautiful. Let's go see that. Verse 3. It's beautiful. A Message Bible. Message Bible. About flourishing like a tree. It's like as if you are stuck, but you are trees are stuck. They are not going anywhere, but they are flourishing. If you think you are too good, okay, next verse. Okay, let's go. Maybe. Make a careful exploration. I want you to look at this verse. This verse is not like the King James Version. Let's look at King James. Let's look at NKJV first before we look at this one. Give us NKJV. But let each one examine his own work. Then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know, the Bible says something over here about self-rejoicing, about being happy with your life, about, you know, you have 10 and you become 13. You can rejoice in that. Not looking at somebody having 25 and becoming 40. Yeah, oh, come on. See, if you do this, comparisonitis is a sickness. you look at, oh, that one's not doing. You know, we do our kids like that. You see these children, first time they take that step to walk, we all clap, rejoice. We don't say, what happened to you? You're not walking like your sister who has been five or 6 years. You don't do that. You rejoice in that progress that one is making. Let's look at it in verse, in Message Bible. Now, Message Bible. You know, Message Bible. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then do what? Like a tree, sink yourself into it. Don't be impressed with yourself because you're looking. And don't compare yourself with others. Wow. One thing that really helped me to be happy over the years was to really gravitate towards my own. And then rejoice in my own. Let me give an example. You go to school with your children and they don't collect prizes for mathematics and English. My kids never did. Are you hearing me? And they've all left secondary school and entered university. You know, you don't have to say, if you don't get a prize. When I was in school, I got so many prizes. Got so many prizes. Are you hearing me? So I won't say my children must have double of that. No, that won't do. I must let them go at their own and rejoice in their progress. For instance, my third girl, you know, she went to law school and then she wanted to get us first class as the parents, just to impress us. And she just came under it a little bit because the school is funny. They will judge you by your least grade. If you get A, B, they judge you by, they put you at B level. If you get A and get one C, you go to C level. I won't criticize them. That's their style. That's normal. So she just got up to 2-1. And then she came home and said, Dad, I really wanted, I was sitting down, Dad, I really wanted to, I wanted to get, I said, that's all right, you did 2-1. That's fantastic. She looked at me and said, Daddy, why do you always do that? You just don't fight us. I said, what will the fight do? You've already come out with the result anyway. What would that do? And let's celebrate. And in fact, when they were doing the law school celebration, they put first class plus second class upper together in one group. I said, you can see now, you know. And actually, it stopped that day. Because a lot of this son, they may not remember first class. It doesn't matter. It's just there. Yeah, okay, you want to go out to school and be a lecturer? Fine. Like somebody said, he was talking to the university student. He was telling the VC of the university, he said, those who are your A student, take care of them, because they're going to become lecturers in your university. Your B student, take care of them, they're going to become politicians and running things. Your C student, who don't know anything, take care of them because they're going to give you money later. Because they don't know books, but they can make money. I know one lady in town. I've forgotten her name. I think somebody, one of my friends. He said, she's so dull in school. She's so dull. I mean, it was so bad. And she has houses all over town. She's in business. So, do you want a certificate on your houses? So, whatever your choice is, all right, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. One of the things that matters most over here is that as you read these verses about being fruitful, about being flourishing, don't just be thinking of, start thinking, Lord, what does that mean to me? How can I use this? Where I am right now, hallelujah, to Ruth that was without a husband, without father-in-law, without sister-in-law, without her husband, to her, she got to Bethlehem and she asked herself, what is the next thing for me? And then she picked up a task and said, I'm going to the farm. And by taking that step, she fell into the lot of a person that would take her of all her lifetime. Just imagine she was at home. Nothing come and meet her there. So what I'm saying tonight is that flourishing is just more than we are multinational. It means that where we are, like that tree, you know, it's stuck there. It's stuck there. You know, like I used to say this, I've not gotten any promotion all these years. I'm still a pastor, was a bishop, apostle. I'm still just, it's good to just settle with yourself. You should be comfortable in your own skin. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you should not make progress, but make progress within yourself. Look at that verse again. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. The task, like now, I've been given the task as a husband. I've been given the task as a pastor. Given the task of being a colleague. And every time I step into that, I want to make the best use of it. That's what we call flourishing. It's not becoming Facebook owner. Are you hearing me? Flourishing is whatever task I'm given, as I wake up every day, I look forward to doing that and doing it more. I'm becoming an expert in my own life. And that's what matters most. Hallelujah. And then you can do more. And when people see you doing that, they start looking at you as an example of their own lives. And they cannot ask you to see that they can go further too. And that's what God also wants more than anything else. You know why God wants us to do this for our lives? Because we become an example of his glory. That's what it's after. Because you see, if you live that way, in the midst of all these limits and struggles and survival techniques, and you start just going on, and start going on, in the midst of all these struggles as a young woman raising kids, and you start just going on, you are more of an evangelism person than somebody just making us, only Jesus can save. Am I making some sense? You see, even when they advertise a product on the TV, they don't advertise it as a product. They get somebody, an artist or actor, actress, to use that thing, am I right? Is that something you spray? Or that woman that was washing her clothes with Omo those days. Remember that thing that the saint was, remember? They'll get them to do something with it, and you will see it being used by somebody. That's the issue there. So I want to see that as I'm talking today, start looking at how does this apply to your life and pray for God to enlighten you. Am I making some sense? So that this will be relevant in our lives. Don't worry about where you are. Let me talk about this more. Let's go to Matthew 25. We need to deal with this very well. You know, no, I'm just a civil servant. No, I'm just this. I'm just that. So I'm just a pastor. I'm just that. Let's go. We need to dig into this a little bit. 25th Matthew, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant and did what? And delivered his goods to them. Now, let's read on. And to one, he gave how many? Five. To another, two. To another, one. To each according to his own ability. And really, he went on a journey. Let's go on. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another what? 5 talents. That's 100% increase. Am I right? Next verse. And likewise, he who had received to me 5 talents, look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. So the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into what? The joy of your Lord. Next verse. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. Next verse. Now, I want you to follow this statement. Can you follow that statement? His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into what? Is that the same way that he said to the other person? Let's check it. Give us verse 24. Okay, verse 23. Next verse. Okay, that's it. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Verse 25 now. Okay, sorry, verse 24. Is that 24? Okay, 23. Forgive me. The same thing is said to that one with 2 talents. He said to the 5 talents too. Am I making some sense? So, wherever your life is,
Whatever your portion, what are you doing with it? That's what matters. Not just somebody else, you know, so this happens a lot. You know, you go to Lagos. You see things that happen in Lagos. See your mates, that kind of car, that kind of house they are living. You know, I got friends all over the place. I never complain about where I am, what I'm doing. Sometimes when they come over here, they are shocked about what I'm doing. They wonder how I could do that kind of thing. I said, no, I just believe that wherever I am, I'll blossom. Praise God, somebody. I'm going to do well. I'm not going to be doing well like I'm counting millions in Lagos. But I'm okay. Because at the end of the day, it's your life, not their lives, that you are going to live. So we have seen that. Is that clear now? Now, the other person, verse 24 now, he said, then he who had received the water let came and said, Lord, I need you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Next verse. And I was afraid. That's why you have to have the face of a lion. We are coming to that now. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Let's stop there. You can see that. So you must not think that just because I have this and I look at what others have. No, I keep thriving and flourishing where I have. Praise God. Do we get that? Let me also deal with something that you don't read in the Bible usually, but it's there. It's in chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. Let's go read it. It's amazing. I was talking about marriage, then he just stepped up to something else. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said, praise God. Now, he was talking about marriage, those who marry unbelievers. Then he got to verse 15. You see, if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. See, if somebody marry an unbeliever before you are saved, and the person is in your life, and he said he wants to stay with you, fine. But if he doesn't want to stay with you, let him go. You are not under bondage. But look at next verse. For how do you know, oh wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Now, this verse is very interesting. I stopped there, and it went somewhere else. Next verse. Now, follow, please, can you look up everybody? But as God, has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in how many? In all the churches. How many of you have read this verse before in your Bible? How many have read this verse before? And you wonder about yourself. What's been distributed? I'm not a distributor. And number two, call. I'm not called. This is not amongst pastors. He said, so I ordain in all the churches. Can we hear from NLT? Let's see what NLT says there. Each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you. And remain as you were when God first called you. If you are called a banker, don't become a theologian. I said, God has something else for you. Where you are. This is my rule for all the churches. We're not just kind of ambitious and angry and fighting where we are and thinking that we are nobody because we are that. No, 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 no. You should be happy. Tell yourself, I will be happy where I am. Say that with me. I'm happy where I am. I'm going to improve. I know that, but I'm going to be happy where I am. Praise God. Are you hearing me? Whether I'm selling or teaching or helping or caring, whatever I'm doing. He said, what? This is my rule for all the churches. So when I'm talking about blossoming and fruitful and doing well and flourishing, I just don't mean that you cross border. You just go somewhere, you know, like a tree. But the tree is just stable. It's not all over the place. You know, very interesting for trees. They just go through the weather everywhere. You just stay there. I have trees around my house. Do you? They just stay there. Rain will come. Now rain is coming out. They start looking green. Dry season. Some of them drop all their leaves. And they never said one day, I'm moving to Lagos. They don't do that. Hallelujah. Pastor, don't talk like that. Everything is moving now. Nothing is specific. I agree with you. Praise God. I agree with you. Everything is moving.
But have you moved to your bedroom yet? You know, let's read some more. Let's read some more. For instance, a man who was circumcised before he became a believer should not try to reverse it. Okay. If you're Nigerian, before you are born again, try to become an American. A pastor, I'm asking you. All America. I'm not saying it's not good America. Let's keep reading. And the man who was circumcised when he became a believer should not be circumcised now. You should not just try to change your gender, change your race. Transgender. You don't have to become another race. Huh? It should be, that's what the faith has given us. We are content where we are, and that's the best we can take from there. Of course, I know every situation has its own problem. Somebody said, I wish I was born in a house where they can send me to medical school. Dr. Liba knows what it is not to sleep at home sometimes and do calls. Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, I just wish I was a lecturer. 8 months strike. Oh, boy. Wow, beautiful. Let's go on. Okay? For it makes no difference whether or not a man has been circumcised. The important thing is to keep God's commandment wherever you find yourself. Whether you're in Africa or Europe or Galactica, wherever you are, you can just take the word of God and act on it, and God will bless you where you are. Somebody say amen to that. Praise the Lord. Let's keep reading a little bit some more, but now let's add something to it. Yes, each of you should remain as you are when God called you. Where you are, God knows where you are. He knows what you are doing. Next verse. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you. But if you get a chance to be free, take it. So you can see now, he's talking about how to flourish now. Where you are, you're not born a slave, but life circumstances like Joseph made him a slave. But then, if you have a chance of coming out of it, take it. But if you don't have the chance, prosper like a slave in the house of Potiphar and take over the house. Is that all right? The best time to rely on you, actually. Let's go on. Okay? And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you are now free in the Lord. This verse used to confuse me. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave of Christ. My. Do you understand that? I don't, in a way, but I can read it. So, if you are independent when the Lord made you, you are not dependent. If you are dependent on the Lord, you are independent. To get that kind of thing. Wow. So, neither way, we are not free. And neither way, we are not in bondage. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For instance, now, I'm working in a bank. They can transfer me. I don't have to pray by my location. Are you hearing me now? You just give me a letter. You are going to something. I can go and walk and say, please come. I can't move now. But I don't have to say, what they say, hey, you're moving on to Sagan. You don't say, Father, should I go? You don't do that. You just move. Because you're the Lord's free man. Let's go on. God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world system. Don't think that, oh, I'm not that, I'm not this, I don't have that, I don't have this. And let me go further to include vocation of life, marriage, choice, children, things like that. Of course, all of us want to be married, but you can't marry yourself. All of us have children, but you can't have children by yourself. Someone has to be there in your life. And, you know, maybe you can only have 2 or 4 or 6, or you finally had 10. Huh? Be content and look for more money to pay school fees. You know what I'm talking about? So learning to live where you are and blossoming there is a great price to a Christian. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are not looking for a perfect location on earth. We cannot have that. Those who have gone abroad now can tell you that where they are is not perfect. Somebody was telling my wife that the things I never experienced in Nigeria negatively, I experienced it in the U.S. Huh? But when I asked, should we come back? He said, no, U.S. is better. No problem. So you can see, so wherever you find yourself, so just make the best use of it and leave. Okay, Pastor, are you saying I'm stuck to Abeokuta? No, you are not. We can go to Lagos. Huh? Move around. You have some money, check into hotel. Eat their food, and Sunday night, come out to your house, Abeokuta. Or go visit somebody. You can't, you know, that kind of a thing. You can just live like that. Be free. Hallelujah, somebody. Live well. That it's not about where you are. It's about who you are following. Does that make some sense? And in whatever vocation, he knows how to prosper and bless you. Do we get that? Making some sense this evening? So let's go back to, can we read these verses in Message Bible? Where do we start from? Just to do summary. Let's go back. Verse what? We start from verse 17 or something? Verse 16. Uh-huh. Okay, good. Good. I love this Message Bible. And don't be wishing you are someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Oh, see, it says, live and obey and love and believe right there. Woo! God, not your marital status or your vocational job, defines your life. Don't think I'm being harder on you than on the others. I give you the same counsel where in all the churches. Interesting. That's an story, plain and simple. Let's keep reading. Were you Jewish? Time God called you. Don't remove the evidence. Though I'm asking, I'm chasing you now. Were you non-Jews? Time of your call. Don't become a Jew. Let's go on. Being Jewish isn't the point. The really important thing is obeying God's call, following his commands. Now, let me try and do something for you today. Now, how many of you have people say, I have a call. See, the call today has been minimized. Did you hear what I just said? The call today has been minimized as to your call to see somebody now. It's not, it does the business, it doesn't work. That business doesn't. He said, but the prophet come and say, you are not following God's call. So what's God's call? You should leave everything and go. And the guy will get hungrier. Before he was making some tiny money. Now he goes up, shut down, turn his house to a church, make his wife children, the drummer, and his wife, the assistant, singer, something. Then suffering will begin. I said, but he said I was called. No, see, God's call, actually, you are called to be a Christian. You have a heavenly calling. And this is this is where we miss it. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Come and see. Hebrews 3, huh? Let me define call for you. The word, you see, the word church is from the word ecclesia. Church means those who are called. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, holy brethren, partakers of what? See that all of us participate in this heavenly calling. And we are called to follow Christ. That's the greatest call. Hallelujah. You are called. Let me show you some more. Romans chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. About calling. Hallelujah. Among whom also you are the called. Hallelujah. Say, I'm called. I know. I'm not called. I'm not a pastor. No. You are called to follow Christ. That's an heavenly summon. You know, and that's why I want to read your Bible every day. Because those words of your call, they are in here. You know, how many of you know that when you open your Bible, you're like a summon to something higher? How many of you notice that? You wake up in the morning, you read your Bible, you see some things, it just takes you higher. And it's called a heavenly calling, something higher. I'd rather have that than have $10 billion. Because if all you have is what you have right now, and nothing taking you upward, it doesn't make life. That's why today, more in the Western world, they are living more on antidepressants. Are you hearing me? And committing suicide. You see, they seem to have it. Hallelujah. So I want to know that where you are right now, God wants you to do well. Pastor, I'm going there. But you see, where you are right now is proper stepping you are going to take from there to get to where you are going. God has places for you to go. Are you hearing me? But from place to place, it will bless you and increase you. But it wants you to enjoy where you are. Hallelujah. Do I make some sense? Is it clear now? So whatever I'm doing now, I have a summon there to be there and to be my best there. Hallelujah, somebody. So let's go. Psalm 92 now. Verse 12 again. The righteous. Not the restless. The righteous. Not the restless. Shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. What happened next? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Something I want to talk about, and this is so important. So important. You see, don't see your life just within this building. Are we here, everybody? Are you here, everybody? If all I see as church is this building, I would have been mightily frustrated a long time ago. Of course, I come do my job over here. But I don't see this building. I see your life. In fact, remember, when we were praying over this building at the beginning, I said, God, you have to supply money to build this. Because this building is just more than a building. Children will grow up over here. They'll go to school from here. We will encourage them. Singles will be able to marry. Those who are married will work on their life. They learn from God day by day, week by week. Are you hearing me? So I'm not just only seeing the building. I'm seeing lives being transformed. And that's a kick for me. In fact, one of the things that I'm enjoying now is that I'm pastoring your children. Are you hearing me? I'm working. Can you imagine? I'm seeing your kids just flourishing, moving on. It's amazing. For me. I don't just see, I don't see that. I'm not blind. Praise God. Praise God. And you know what? It's not only me. It's not only me. But anybody over there, he's a doctor. If you go to his place, you don't find patients filling everywhere. But over the years, people are taken care of from children who are taking injections from him, who are grown up today, and who are married. Sir, that's true. You're a teacher. Don't just say, I'm going to Lisa B, I'm coming out. Lisa B, I'm coming out. Lisa B, I'm coming out. It's more than just Lisa B. Your kids are growing. They are learning. They have become something. That rascal, not serious, become House of Rep member. Are you getting that? Those small kids. You know, it's amazing. But people don't see that. You're saying, No. Have you ever thought about it? God has only one throne all this eternity. He hasn't changed his throne yet. Because just one day, just become restless. Become restless. We'll be saying, well, I want to do something else. I don't want to be God anymore. I mean, everybody's praying to me. Let me also just find somebody that can just pray to me. It's just God. Let's clap our hands for God. Never changing God. It's always going on. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. That, I want that to be settled in us. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to make progress there. Growth is part of the tree, though it does not move around. It grows. Hallelujah. Okay, now with that settled, seeing yourself as a growing person and in all the weathers, you see the trees are there in all weathers, good weather, bad weathers, ugly weathers, rainy weather, dry weather, everything, it just carries on. But at the same time, it's making progress. And the progress you notice is in the fruit that they come to take. The mango trees peculiarly bear mango fruit year in, year out. Sometimes they become, collect them, sometimes they fall down, whatever. In that mango fruit, there's also a seed that can grow its like. Am I right? Am I right? Are you following me? So where you are right now, God expects you to bring forth fruit. And fruit is not what you eat yourself. Somebody has taken it from your life. Am I right? See, when I am married, I'm a husband. I cannot husband myself. I husband my wife. Then my wife wife me. Are you hearing me? Is that a good thing? You know, she turned around and blessed me with what she has. And I turned around and I blessed what I have. If I go to work, I am the employee. I must offer my best as employee to that place. I'm not the boss.
See, I really want you to be a settled plant. I want to show you two pictures of the kingdom of God today that will help you. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. I never seen this until last week for myself. You know, it's amazing when I saw it. There are two pictures of fruitfulness and flourishing for us believers. Mark 4:26. Christ gave us two parables there, or two illustrations, to show us what it means to be flourishing. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed where? On the ground. And next one, and should sleep by night and rise by day. There's no frenzy in his life. When you go to the farm, you remove your wristwatch. Huh? And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Next verse. For the earth yield crops by itself. First, the blade of that thing sticking out. Then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. Next verse. And when the grain ripens, what does it do? It takes its... Because the harvest has come. Do you know that? Oh boy, it's amazing. Really, really amazing. You know, today's machine age has brought us what we call fulfillment. So if anybody feels depressed, not usually those who are in agricultural age, we that are, let me show you what I mean by that. Let me show you. See, you are working in a place. Let's say you're working in a fan factory, or you sell fan. You see, you have sense of discontent more than the farmer. You know why? You put the fan down, you sell the fan. You don't see what the fan is doing. You're only just conveying or passing it. Imagine you're working at a place where they are repairing vehicles or where they assemble a car. You just put your bits there and lock it in. Maybe you're just doing only the nut for gear. You just spin, you go bing, bing, and you're from 8 to 4 o'clock. But in the farm, it's different. You come to see, to watch that thing growing, and you come to see it blossoming, and you come to see it being sold out and blessing people and eating. But so today, in our industrial age, we don't see that. I'm just selling fabric. But no, you are clothing humans. Am I making some sense? You are doing something, you can see the end result. That's where we have problem with our discontentment, because we don't see the end result. I'm a civil servant. So, you are making things work in the state. What am I making to work? Where am I? I'm in, suburb. What do you call that? What's suburb now? What is suburb? Tell me. Can you come? They have all kinds of names. Ogadeb. You know, they have all those names. And the name now becomes nonsense. Huh? Suburb, Ogadeb, Fadama. Huh? So, where are you going? Ogadeb. What are you doing there? Ogadeb. You know? So, you have to have that sense of meaning. See, in this place right now, look at this first parable. This first parable is about the man coming out to plant seed. And that seed will bring forth harvest. And he's looking at the harvest. He's looking at what is happening to it. That's why today, they made everything money. And see, money and meaning, they can be a little bit opposite of each other. For instance now, somebody is almost gone with appendicitis. And Dr. Aliba comes and, you know, operates and remove it. And he collects whatever money he collects. It's less than the life saved. Am I making some sense? See, if your joy is just that, I'm making the money there, you lose that harvest of a life snatched from death. Am I making some sense? Like sister, working in the crèche now. You see those small kids over there? They're giving them life for the future. Starting from somewhere. So, see, the harvest must be seen. Number one, you see the harvest. That's first one. That's in the fruitfulness. You see something. Begin to identify your grains. That's your grain. You plant something. You plant promises of God. You follow through. That's one level of fruitfulness. It's something you do. But then, next parable. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? Now, this one changes. It's same planting, but it changes. Look at next verse. So, like a mustard seed, follow now, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seed on the earth. Next verse, let's go on. But when it grows, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes what? Are you following? Than all herbs. So that large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest. See, the first one, you are planting and you are having a harvesting. And you are reaping the harvest and you are giving it out. But this one, you are becoming something. So there are two levels of fruitfulness and flourishing. That's what you do. That's who you are becoming. Am I making some sense? You see, the first one is about what I do. I go to work. I do this. I apply this skill. That's one level of fruitfulness. That's what I do. But that's also who I'm becoming. So look at this one now. You plant the seed. You are becoming a big tree. So it's a small mustard seed. It begins to grow. It begins to get bigger. Look at it. It becomes greater than all herbs and shoot out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. See, now, though I am in this small place, like Jesus, can you imagine? Lord of glory came over here. What kind of job will he do? Carpentry. Think about that. And amazingly, carpentry for 30 years. The world is dying. And for 30 years, and when he went to the ministry, it's not for 60 years, it's for 3 years. That's the title of 30. Are you hearing me? Like, can you imagine the Lord buried in a no man's land? Nazareth was famous for nothing. Nathanael says so. He said it's a place famous for nothing. Anything good can come out of Nazareth. See, the Lord himself came to the world and he was placed in Nazareth. If I were the Lord, I would say, please, go to Rome. Put me among the senators so that we can control Rome. But he went to, we are Nazareth. Abekuta. Totoro. Are you hearing me? Can you imagine Jesus doing colo? He's just doing carpentry work. And for 30 years, but you forgot something is blossoming there. Now, when you now see Christ, this is where Pentecostals get it wrong. When you now see Christ come, Holy Ghost on him, and you come around, start doing all those things, you say, anointing called growth me. Growth me. See, in that place where he is, though he looks like he's doing nothing, but he's getting bigger himself. He's getting greater. He's getting better. Clap your hands for Jesus. Are you hearing me? Yeah. The first parable is about you are making seed. It's harvesting. You are selling it. You are moving it. You can see the seed. But second one, you are becoming a seed yourself that is growing. Oh. And you know why God's doing that? 13th of Matthew. Let's go to 13th of Matthew. I want to show you. That's how God can help this world. Come and see. Hallelujah. This is important because we need to get the context today. When I say flourishing, I don't mean like you're just buying cars, you're just moving around, and you're just having money. You have dollars. No. You know, it's more than that. Flourishing is what you do, what you are producing. The seed of promises of God you are planting. And second, who you are becoming yourself. Hallelujah. You don't only have seed of promises yourself. You are a seed of promise. Am I making some sense? That Jesus was just doing carpentry work. Of course, he was making the carpentry things. He was making stuff. He was selling things. And he prospered there. You know how I know he prospered? When he started preaching, they said, no, he's a carpenter. That means he was doing well as a carpenter. You like, say, thank God, what you escaping you? No, they said, you're a carpenter. You're good at carpentry work. So you can see that. But at the same time, he was growing as a person there. You know, one of the things I enjoy most being here as a pastor, I'm growing myself. I'm learning. I'm growing. Of course, I've grown too physically a little bit. I saw my neck some years ago. My neck looked like this, you know, it still looks like that, but I'm better now. Physically speaking, intellectually speaking, spiritually speaking. I'm not just kind of stuck in my job. I'm not doing a job. Am I making some sense this evening? So, How will God stop the mess in the world? What will God do? How will God? See, Jesus came over here for 30 years. He had to grow for 30 years. Don't just start ministering immediately. And that job, that's where I was growing. It was flourishing there. Do you know why the mother said to them that? Listen to this. You know, Jesus never done any miracle before. Until that wedding of Cana of Galilee. Remember? No public miracle before that time. But when that thing happened, the mother said, Jesus, there's no wine. You know why? He had known how to get his needs met where he was. The mother had seen Jesus putting two and two together and living life that is worthy, that they will never be stranded. So he just told to his son, not because he's now anointed. They never said anointing before. Don't say anybody about the problem. He said, Jesus, the wine is finished. He knew that Jesus could take wherever he is. You know, he was a carpenter, but there was the miraculous blossoming in his life. Are you hearing me? That wherever he went, whatever he does, something better will happen there. Praise God. Am I making some sense? So let's look at this story. I said, number one, you have a seed you are planting. The things you do, the promises of God, that's also seed of your life. The parable is there, 13th Matthew. Let's go. Glory to God. Okay, let's look at the parable. The first parable, look at verse 24. Good, and it tells us the meaning. See, these are all about the Bible. Another parable, he put forth say to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, please look at this story. It's like a what? It's like a man who sow what? Good seed where? In his field. Let's keep on. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Next verse. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Next verse. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares or wild seed? Let's go on. Said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? Look at the reply. He said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Go on. Let both grow together until harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into where? Now, look at this story. We know the story of the parable of the sower sowed the word. Remember that sower sowed the seed? And he sowed on different ground. But this one is different now. That other one that sow seed 30-fold, 60-fold, that is using the promises, the word of God to make something happen in your life. So in that parable, the seed is the word of God. The promises you are acting on. But in this other parable, the seed is not the word of God. Huh? This one. Let's go and read the meaning of this parable. I'm talking about you blossoming. Let's go now. Okay. 13th Matthew. Are we there? Let's hear the meaning of the parable. Okay. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us what? The parable of the tares of the field. That one, you told us about the other one that is seed, sowing seed. But now, this parable, what is this parable? Let's look at the parable. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is not the pastor. Is who? The good seed is the Son of Man. Are you here, everybody? Next verse. The field is not the human heart. What is the field? The world. The good seed are the sons of who? But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Wow. So this is a global picture of this thing. Now, you can now understand where the Lord placed you. Remember, talk about wherever I put you, your calling, remember? So the Lord, see, now wait now. Now, he said, the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. Hold on. Listen now. You see, one thing, you are born again into the kingdom. But another thing, the kingdom give back to you. You don't understand that? You see, when you are born again, you enter the kingdom. Now you now become part of the kingdom. The master will now take you as son of the kingdom and plant you on this earth. So you are planted here as sons of the kingdom. Are you hearing me? Now follow me now. Let's go. But the tears are who? Go back. But the tears are the sons of the wicked one. So the devil is a spoiler. So in that office, he also plants sons of the evil one to buttress corruption, to buttress mediocrity, to make things worse from that situation for people. So as you are going to work in civil service as sons of the kingdom, so the devil is sending people to go and work there as sons of the evil one. And we are all on this planet.
Pastor, Timalo, U.S., Korisi.
There are sons of the wicked one that are much more terrible than where you are. Are you hearing me? You'll find them everywhere. There are doctors who are hired killers. Kids will make money. But God has put people like doctors to live as sons of the kingdom. Are you hearing me? In your department, there are sons of the wicked one. There are sons, the only bad thing that when the sons of the kingdom become sons of the wicked one, become trouble. But God is preparing you. That's why you come to church. That's why you hear the word of God. God's preparing you to become his own sons of the kingdom. You are number one, sons of God, and you are going to heaven. But he want to make you sons of the kingdom, and you blossom where you are, and then bring out his own harvest in that place. So, in that business industry, you are bringing forth the harvest of heaven there. Whereas, the other guy is bringing forth the harvest of hell. Am I making some sense? Are you following me? So, whatever vocation you pick, let's keep reading. The enemy who sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Oh, you see that story, right? Bigger picture now. So, can you look up, everybody? Can you look up? Where you are right now, you are God's sons of the kingdom. And he will not destroy the world yet. That's why God won't destroy. Look at Nigeria. Nigeria is bad. Corruption. Let's just wait. No, there are people there that God has put that they are working underneath sons of the kingdom. If God destroys Nigeria, will he destroy your family or destroy your children too? No. So he's keeping you there that harvest time will come. If God slap that unbeliever right now, it will affect you. If that's your boss, unbeliever, God kill him now. Who pays salary by the end of the month? Hello? Now let's look at next verse. Therefore, as the tears are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Son of man will send out his angel and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. See, all the bad things you see in the world today, they are sons of the wicked one producing those things. In the film industry, you see crazy, crazy wild films. And you see people like Manzion doing something different. Am I making some sense? So whether you are teaching or whatever you are doing, you are a child of God, a son of the kingdom, emphasizing there. This is where we miss it. You're just there to make money. If you are there to make money, then your value becomes mammon. That applies to pastors too. Some pastors, you know, they are saying, "Oh, your Christian life could prosper. You could prosper." You know the meaning of that? They have ABC. They call it ABC in church growth. ABC could prosper: attendance, building, and cash. I'm teaching pastor right now. Oh, your and building. I want your ball. One of my friends told me. He said, "When they go for their regular meeting for monthly pastors conference, say, 'Ele lepa.'" It boils down to how much you collect for offering. It happens everywhere. So it's always just your place of work. So what I'm saying is this. You are going to prosper with your seed acting on the word of God. And God will prosper you. God will bless you. What God, listen, am I making some sense? God is giving you his promises that wherever you find yourself, you prosper. Whether you're a gardener or carpenter or a teacher or professor, God's word will work for you, dear. And you have the harvest of his blessings in Jesus' name. But beside that harvesting where you are blossoming. For instance, when you plant corn, you see the harvest is multiplied. Am I right? But when you plant a tree, it doesn't multiply like that. It grows. Am I right? It becomes bigger.
settled, and then begin to bring forth harvest for the next 50, 40, 60 years. If you plant corn, quick harvest, 3 months. After that, you cut it down. That's why you don't see so much changes in Nigerian Christianity. They do more of plant corn, breakthrough, blessings, harvest, victory. But they themselves, they are not changed to become better harvest for God. Am I making some sense? So you can, Pastor, but why is God blessing them? Because they are planting seed. Any crazy guy can plant seed in good ground, it will grow. If God allows his blessing to all those who are already perfect, you won't get anything in this life. So when you get the seed of the word of God, you can plant that miracle, promises of God, and you will see that. But it doesn't stop there. You need to become a large branch, a large tree with branches. Hallelujah. That other can come and land there. You know what I want by my life is that my life be so good that wherever I am, people will find a reference point in me. That I'm teaching a school. I'm just a teacher. I'm not the principal. And they come to me, close celebrity now. I explain life. I talk to them about things. And they see. And you know what? They tell their children, you know, that kind of a thing. That's what I'm talking about. That's where I live in this town. I live in this town to be a big tree. So now branches beyond RFC. Are you hearing me? And touch life. Pastor, how much are they paying you? That's nonsensical. My life is more than that. I'll be paid, of course, but that's not what I'm thinking about. Am I making some sense? So who you are should flourish, and what you do should flourish. What you do is the harvest like corn, but who you are is a tree. It's a bee. Like a tree, remember? Go back to Samuel, verse 12. Have I made some clarity? Is it clear? Now, sometimes you may not be seeing crop quickly coming up, like now. You may not see. Okay, look at Jesus now. When he was a carpenter, we didn't read about his products. His table, his chairs, his whatever it is. But later, in that job that looks so insignificant, he was growing there. So when he came out to be a minister now, all that had happened through his life in reflection began to manifest there. His level of wisdom, interaction.
Pastor, I don't believe what you are saying now. It's not in the Bible.
Okay, Luke 2. So between the age of 12 and 30, what was he doing? You know, at the age of 12, he went to the temple. Wait, he was there, and for 3 days, they couldn't find him, right? And they said, hey, what happened to you? Father, 3 days, found him. And he said to the mother, why are you looking for me? I must be about my father's business. Was he preaching? No. Was he teaching? No. What was he doing? Father's business. How? I don't know. He was not walking on the water. He was not laying hands on people. So the father's business to Jesus was not just doing that. Wow. Are you still here with me? What's the father's business? Let's go and find out. Luke 12. Luke 2. I have been thinking of teaching like this in a long time. I had the liberty today. Are you there? So quit looking down on yourself. Tell yourself, I have the seed of God's promises. I'm also a seed of the kingdom. Praise God, somebody. And just like my seed, the word of God will grow, I'll grow too, because I'm also a seed of God. Hallelujah. Luke 2, are you there? Okay, so after you finished in the temple, father's business, what was he doing? Look at your Bible. Verse 49. And Luke 2, 49. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? Uh-huh. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Go on. Then he went down with them and came to where? Nazareth. That city famous for nothing. And was what? Subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. What a mother. Let's go on. And Jesus increased in what? In wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. This was Jesus' story at work as a carpenter. Now, he was making things, producing promises of God to work in the people's lives, but at the same time, himself was increasing. He was flourishing.
in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. So wherever you are locked down, remember again, it's a grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The cedar, give us this picture again, cedar in Lebanon. Wow. See, I said before you came, that tree does not have tire. It's not a vehicle. That tree is like under a course. It's stuck. And you will see all over the Bible, they always describe the righteous as a plant, as a tree. Where, you see, this tree knows it's not going anywhere. So it flourishes where it is. It cannot move. Hallelujah. You know, that's why sometimes promotions bothers me. You know why that's a promotion that bothers me? When you start really doing well, promote you to retirement. The world system, by the age of 60, they throw you out. And we are living longer now. You know that in our medical thing, they are calling them back now. Calling them back after all the boys have left. There's no power to do anything. So we don't really produce experts. We just want to keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. You know, one of the greatest needs in Nigeria is professorship. Being a prof, there's been so much investment in you. But hardly is a prof settling down in that. They are fighting for HOD or dean or something. They never look at what you are doing. Just imagine you have vet doctors here right now. Supposed to take care of animals and cold, fight among yourself, human beings. And the dogs are getting sicker. look at House of Rep. This guy will campaign, struggle to become member of the House of Rep. Moment he becomes like this, he will become chairman of the committee. He will become deputy speaker. Come on, you forgot what you are there for. So all of us, that's where we are. We want to, I'm a Nigerian too. I have to tell myself, Farabale, live your life well, make impact. From there you grow. No, I must be known in this city. So I carry bag and I have, see guys, there are about 20 in the church, 20 members in the church. It's restless. It's supposed to become the bishop. Then you have 3 bodyguards who want to kill him. 10 members in this church. Just look at me. Reverend, you are different. I'm not different. I'm just like you. You think I know other kind of thing too? Become apostolic and Muslim. Apostle. That's why I don't like the name, you know. Apostle Tunde Amosun, A-T-A, Ata, Pepe. I don't want to bear that kind of name. Or Bishop Tunde Amosun, B-T-A, Basic Traveling Allowance. Jesus didn't have any title. He just lived. Hallelujah. It was a force to be reckoned with. Now, I'm okay. I'm not saying you should not get title. But what I'm saying is that, look here, let your life bear it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Am I making some sense today? So to flourish means that you are actually bringing forth fruit with your life and what you do. Stop worrying about other things. Think about you. You see, let me say it like this. This will shock you. No matter what the world can throw at you, you have the adequacy of God in your life to meet up and go beyond that. No matter what can happen around you. Pastor, are you sure? Philippians 4, 13, Amplified Bible, classic. Come and see. You claim you have Christ in your life? Yeah. You have the adequacy of God. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient. You know, it says I have it. I must just grow up to make it more manifest. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm making some sense. Real leaders are those who are living like that. So, where you are right now, you know, I keep repeating this again and again. Back to
chapter 7, 1 Corinthians again. Let's read it again. Verse 16 or 17. Then we talk some few things and then leave and go home. My. Verse 17 now. Verse 8. Okay. Okay. Give us in Okay, give us that. Give us back Amplified Classic. Only let each one seek to conduct himself and regulate his affair so as to lead the life which the Lord has allotted and imparted to him and to which God has invited and summoned him. This is my order in all the churches. Whatever you are giving, use it. You know, in my younger days, I have this thing of always giraffing. Like if I don't get in there, they become sad and depressed, and I'm useless for the present right now. See, the moment I don't get that thing, I start feeling so sad, and my present obligations start failing. But I came to see that in the life of Joseph. Joseph was a manager of his brothers, and then they grabbed him, put him in the pit, and sold him off. You know, he didn't say, hey, every day wake up, put something like this in Potiphar's house. Kilo sele, amore lo lono, emila yemi, mosho deke. You know, he just got busy. I saw one film. Is it all this cartoon they did for Joseph? And they showed Joseph as he was, you know, washing the floor. And they saw his brother's faces. Say, hey, Judah, say, hey. That's not really true. That's just Tom and Jerry. But, you know, he just woke up and told himself, yeah, I found myself. Day before, I was a manager. Today, I'm a slave. Let's make slavery successful. And as he did his possible best over there, and don't forget that there are challenges there too. Potiphar's wife. And he kept on struggling, and he went to prison. He failed in a way. Bible said when he got to prison, he prospered. I've never seen any prosperous 11 before. He prospered. He prospered in the chains, in the limits, in the struggles. Stop thinking that everything is more money. Of course, we need more money. But who you are, uncle? What's happening there? You know, I was in UK one time. I'm saying this over and over again so that we can really get this. See, that's why the Western world can be far better than us. I was in UK one time with a doctor at Manchester. I was staying with them. And then the boy, they have two kids, one boy, one girl. The older one is the girl. And as they were playing, the boy put his hands by the door hinge. They closed the door, and that thing just almost cut the finger. So we were in the shop. We were shopping outside, myself and him. And his wife called and said, hey, what happened? He said, don't worry. I said, what happened? Let's go home. He said, no. They already called ambulance. Amazing. It's my boy. They said, we go and meet them in the hospital. So they carried the boy to the hospital. The boy is restless. Man, that boy is restless, man. That boy is bald of energy. He's just jumping. So we got to the hospital and we saw the boy. And then the mother said, don't put bandage there. He will remove it. I don't know who the person is. I don't know if it's a doctor. His job, he said, I've been bandaging for 18 years. Did you hear that? That cannot be Nigeria. I have been bandaging for 18 years. No child succeeded in removing my bandage, except one or two. Can you imagine? He's been doing that for 18 years. Of course, there's enabling environment. That's right. Unlike here. Oh, the top. Oh, Bangokoni. Are you hearing me? See, and they said, they're going to fly, if they cannot get that done, they're going to fly the baby with helicopter to another hospital. I was asking, how much are they going to pay? They have system running it. But can you imagine, they're going to carry with a helicopter a baby. Why? They're doing their job. They're excelling at it. But here, chopper. We'll teach up welfare for chopper. You know? Praise God. I said, praise God. So tell yourself, I will flourish. And what I do will flourish. Now somebody said, Pastor, you know my problem? My problem is that what you are saying, I know it's true. But when I get home, when I put on my TV, and when I see my friends, and what they say around me, even Christians,
So, you must have a way of informing yourself every day. You see, there is insanity in our world that is just crazy. So you must have a way of listening to God by yourself directly. So you must learn to come to God, praying and listening to Him. And stop reading the Bible, like just daily devotion. Start reading your life into it. And read them into your life. Praise God. Tell yourself, I will blossom. I'll be fruitful. I will flourish. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me round up with this. Stakemi, just bear with us. We will get over out of this wood so we can start reading our books again. I want to show you something before we leave here. I talk about the three pictures they put on the wall in that temple. Remember? What are these three pictures they put in the temple? Picture of a cherubim, picture of a palm tree, and picture of a flower. Remember that? Okay, so three pictures. And then we said about this cherubim, they are not KNSO. That's for the church there. We don't have KNS church, we have Jesus church. But this picture was all over the temple, and we are the temple of God. That means on the wall. And remember, they made the wall with cedar wood. Remember that? Yeah, that's the building. It's covered with gold, but the wood that they built it with is cedar. And when you enter inside there, there are two compartments. There's the holy place, most holy place. And all the walls like this inside is peppered with gold. But within that gold, there are carvings. There are three types of carving all over that inside. There's the cherub, there is the palm tree, there is the flower. And these three show who we are to planted the house of God, first the court of our God. And I want to close with these two faces, three faces, or four faces we're talking about. Can you give us the four faces again when you see a cherubim, you will see four faces. They have four faces. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 1. Something I want you to see there. Then we'll see how to be fruitful from that story. Ezekiel chapter 1. That's where they describe the... let me open it quickly. All right. Great. They stay around God's presence. Sometimes they even carry the cloud where the throne of God is. Let's look at verse 10. As for the likeness, give us on the screen. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Okay, so can you see that? Now, let's go back to that picture. I want to rearrange that picture, but they can't do it on the screen. Now, actually, in the picture, this way it looks. It doesn't look like this. This way it looks. When you see that cherubim, when you see them like that, their front is human face. Their right side is lion. We just read over there now. Their left side is a bull. And their back side is an eagle. Now, why did God imprint that all over the building? Why did God pick these particular resemblances around himself in his throne? Why did he set that up? Because he has a lesson to teach us as his temple. So, those four faces, I want to show you four things they represent. The lion stands for courage, daring to do. The ox or bull stands for diligence, sticking to itness, doing it. Man stands for compassion. Where did that picture? Where this one there? Give us the other one right before. Okay, good. Oh, you can take that one out. Give us, okay, face of a man. A man is a man, right? Okay, give us the picture of a man. The one you just got. Thank you. So you can see compassion there. So first of all, what do we have first? Lion, which stands for what? Courage. Second, what? Bull, stands for what? Diligence. You know, this bull, they just keep walking and they don't talk much. And they are very, very dull. Am I right?
You never see any bull just, they either know how to get angry or how to walk, either of the two. Now, third one is the human face. Okay, you got this, I like this eagle, it looks too serious. This one is intelligence. So we have these four that will contribute to blossoming and being fruitful. So when we look at fruitfulness, it demands courage, it demands diligence, it demands compassion, and it demands intelligence. You cannot blossom without being intelligent. But let me show you the way they put it. It's a little bit advanced, but I want to help you. You see, when you see this, you see, first of all, the face of a man. Compassion. It says, on the right side is the lion. On the left side is the bull. And on the back side, inside, is what? The eagle. That when you look back, if you do well, you are intelligent with it. You see, it requires foresight, insight, to get things done in life. Failure usually occurs when we move at the wrong time and don't use what we have at that moment. Life gives us opportunity, but it takes you to be smart to seize that opportunity and do it well. Praise God. For instance, if you had a dollar and you sold it, when it was 1800, I wish I had that and that, you know, looking back. Now, take a look. This is how it is done. The front face you present is not a lion. Everybody running away from you. Are you hearing me? Jesus was normal. There was nothing, of course. Some people, they look too aggressive for life. You know, just imagine you enter interview and say, I want to take this job. This job belongs to me. They say, I have no office in you. You kill everybody. Of course, some people are like that, but I understand you can work on yourself. So the face you present is the face of a human. That's the front. Then, you see, your right side, your right arm, for those of us who are right over there, that's why you grab something. You see, you cannot grab things in life except you are daring. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's your right side. So, grabbing things and taking things require that lion face. But you know that when you grab something, it can't stay till your second hands hold them together. That your left side, that your right side is the diligence to keep at it, or else what you are grabbing will still escape you. Are you hearing me now? Of course, you try your possible best. You get that degree. Then you have to have diligence to make that degree work. It can be daring. You can step, like now, Peter stepped out on the water. It was daring. But the left side of diligence failed and it started sinking. Then there is the intelligence, where you move because you can see, even in the dark. Are you hearing me? Eagles, their eyes are so, they are the only animals blessed with the kind of cornea that can look straight into the sun and don't blink. You try that, your eyes will freeze out. They can look at the sun. They have layers of cornea that they can look into the sun and they can pick colors in all its varieties. One more. An eagle can be over here and 5 miles away will spot a rabbit. Oh, the claws of an eagle. When it grabs something, this is how it kills things. It doesn't struggle with them. When it grabs them, start going up. Start going up. It can pick a hole. Look at that thing inside water that looks big, that has tails, very strong. Crocodile, something like that. It can pick it up. It doesn't struggle to kill it. As it goes high, the lack of oxygen will kill the thing. So, what does it do? It goes high enough to terminate the life of things here on earth. That means that you cannot come at real intelligence hanging around on the surface here. You know, one of my teachers said, many people, they don't think. They're usually desperate in life. They're desperate. They don't stop to think. By the way, ego goes alone. Human beings go in company. Are you hearing me? Egos go. You can't be intelligent by a group think. Are you hearing me? When they say, she has yama move, otitonle already. Otiton. I want Ali Raja to take the book at all. So, you can see. So, the front is what? The human. The right side to grab it is what? The lion like. And then to stay with it, the two hands hold it now. Diligence comes in there. And then intelligence at the back. Looking back, you made the right choice. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. In fact, sometimes too, when you are very intelligent, even when you made the wrong choice, you can make it right. Are you hearing me? You can turn it around and make it work out. That's the beauty of an artist. You see an artist, they will say, a wall is cracked over here when we are walking. When he finishes with it, you will see a flower vase there. You never know what it's covering. Hallelujah. Do you get that? So that's what I want us to see, that as you, wherever you find yourself, whether you are teaching, whether you are selling, whether you are buying, have the courage enough to seize opportunity. Ask yourself, what is the best I can do here? And second, what's the best I can be? Myself now. Brother Kennedy told me a story in Lagos about a civil servant in Lagos government and went to work. And they put him, I think he studied history, and they put him in the Ministry of Agriculture Fiscal Department. And one day he came to the boss. He said, boss, we can do something. We have lagoon and then water everywhere, but I agree. Can't we just try and put some demarcation and then raise fish in the ocean, Atlantic, or whatever lagoon? They said, what will concern you? Go and sit down. You own too much. He said, oh, guy is good. They said, eh. They took him back. Transform to Ministry of Education. Don't ever think fish in your life again. Go to classrooms. So he sat down there. You know what he did? So now he dared to do something. As of last time we were talking, Professor Kennedy said he had the largest fishery in West Africa company. So you know what he did? He left. He was still working though. He started developing his own business. He dared. Courageous enough to step out. And then he also grabbed it with diligence and kept working at it. He was still civil service too. He rose to a place of PS. So one day, for the kind, they were doing something with lasso and they were trying to get something from the government. A particular organic, what do you call it? Something organic. Organic gardening, where they raise organic food. And the government, first of all, built the place. Brought somebody from Benin Republic, a priest, Catholic priest, to come and build it. Cost billions. And after he left, they left it alone. It became useless. And then Lasso said, can we use it? Because they were getting some pittance from budget in the place. They blocked. They didn't. So when they were battling, struggling, that man called Prof. That PS that now became a fisher, he said, let me tell you my story. This is where this place is. Alala to cook with that. I'm making some sense. Nobody should limit your life. If they limit it here, you can come over here and be your best in God. Is that all right? Have I made some sense today? Have I helped today? Now let's lift up and say, Father, thank you for my place. Thank you for my portion. Thank you for who I am. Thank you for what I can do. Thank you for where you have put me, in this marriage, in this work, in this location, in this department, with this level of ability and strength. Thank you. I'm taking my 5 talent or 2 talent or 1 talent and I'm not burying it. I'm using what I have. I see the days ahead of me and I'm going to be courageous with compassion in my heart for the needs of humanity. With the heart of a lion and the strength of a bull, with the hindsight of an eagle, I make myself available to turn my life to a wonderful tree, giant branches, mega branches. that others will find resourcefulness and find life in me. That bears restless people, those who don't know where to go, what to do, they'll find their way into my life and be blessed. Father, I refuse to just be barren. I refuse to just be there. I determine to make something out of my life as a son of the kingdom with the seed of God's word in my life. This seed of the word of God will grow, bring forth harvest, breakthroughs, blessings, victory. But more than that, my life will be like that tree, mustard that becomes giant shrub with several branches, spiritually, intellectually, physically, maritally, becoming a blessing around me. Thank you, Father God. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. I stay in my post tonight. I'm no longer struggling and getting weaker. I'm flourishing and getting stronger. I'm using what I have to go to where I'm going. And thank you, I have the adequacy of Jesus. I have the strength of the one who called me. I'm following. And day by day, thank you for working on me. I've been doing the same job, but I'm getting transformed in it. And I'm getting better with living life myself. And thank you for using me as a showcase that you are upright, there's no righteousness in you. Tonight, I appreciate you for where I am, for the work I have, for the life I live, for my family. I want to thank you. I want to appreciate you for how far you have taken me. I know you still have more. I will send my roots deep, and I'll go in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you open your eyes? I just feel like we should read. Before you came in at the beginning, we read a place in the book of Hosea. I'd like us to read it again as we round up and give our offering. In Hosea 14, God talked about after you are saved and you come to him, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions. Give us in NLT. Okay. Return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive us all our sins. Let us receive us so that we may offer you our praises. So what will happen to us now after we are forgiven? Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. Never again will we say to the idols we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. Go on. And God said, the Lord says, then I will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. Let's keep reading. I'll be to you like a refreshing dew from heaven, and you will blossom like the lily. You will send roots deep into the soil like the cedar in Lebanon. Somebody say amen to that. Your branches will spread like out like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedars of Lebanon. Go on. My people will again live under my shade. They will flourish like grains and blossom like grapevines. They'll be as fragrant as the wines of Lebanon. Go on. Oh, Israel, stay away from idols. I'm the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I'm like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me, your result. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. That means using your ego eyes. The path of the Lord are true and right. Righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners do what? Stumble and fall. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for what you have done to us today. We prayed at the beginning of this service, and you answered us and talked to us and show us things that I myself didn't even plan for. Thank you for coming to us in that as dew from heaven. Thank you for dropping your blessings upon our head so that we can do things with our life and be something special in your house. Blessed be your holy name. We give our offering, we sow our seed, and we receive harvest back to become better in every way financially. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give our offering and get out of here? Praise God. I'm glad I came tonight. Some things I said tonight I didn't plan for entirely, but it was just good. I will follow you through. Hallelujah. So who we are becoming and what we are doing, they are both fruitful. Like corn, we are doing things. We are planting and we are reaping 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But as a tree, we are becoming big, larger, with mega branches and a place of refuge for others. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Uncle is flourishing. Uncle is collecting offering tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. When the boys don't show up. Thank you, Uncle. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Are we all through? Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. No, no, not this one. What's the one? Okay, this is Pastor's Forum. If you know anybody, can buy for Thursday. Give us the one that we are going after. Give us our May Day. Thank you. May Day. Not all these ones. May Day. Thank you. Don't forget May Day is workers free, workers holiday. They're going to have, you can come if you are doing any kind of work. Come around. If you are not doing anything, come to. If you are not doing any work, come around. Have some first-time knowledge before you get in there. We do a lot of things, managing your boss, working hard, how do you do your work well. I got some things that have been sent to me about struggles in the workplace. Those kind of things we deal with. We have some workshop. I will take some workshops, almost all workshops all through, different parts we'll take. Please come around. It will really bless you. Attend it. Glory to God. You can invite friends too who are working in an organization, lecturer, teachers, civil servant, private organizations, wherever you are working in. You're working for somebody, you're working organization for establishment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let's get up and go home. Hallelujah. Ah. Praise the Lord. Tell yourself, I'm going to rejoice in what God has made me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I agree with God that He has made me somebody of value and has given me His promises to live by. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm flourishing. I'm blossoming where I am. Who I am and what I do, they are both functionally prosperous. I'm being fruitful in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your spirit in each person here tonight. Thank you for bringing us here. You have your reasons. And thank you as we go back. May this word be fertilized by the Holy Spirit. Bring forth fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you for settling us like a cedar in Lebanon. Thank you for helping our root to grow deeper so our fruit can be lasting. And we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we share the grace together? Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Tell somebody beside you, surely, goodness and mercy. All right. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Thank you for coming.